Okay, podcast people, we are back. It's been a bit longer than a week. Sorry about that. But I am so excited to start episode 3 of Tokyo Tea Time. I have a couple of precatory remarks to make. So first of all, when I started this podcast, I decided I was not going to worry in the beginning anyway so much about fancy microphones and recording space and all of that kind of make it sound better and professional kind of stuff. So first of all, I apologize to all of you that you often hear all kinds of crazy crap in the background. But the thing is, I know for me that what I needed to do first to really get this going is just make content, talk about stuff, share stuff, and publish it. And that hopefully over time, I can get better at some of the other things, but the first thing I need to do is just commit to getting my ideas out there and really enjoying making the podcast. So what that means is I sometimes do the introductions like I'm doing right now while I'm out walking the dog because I have a little bit of time. And if you don't know, I have a lovely dog named Archie and we walk a lot and I really enjoy that time. And this is a really good little moment that I can grab for myself to start to get my thoughts together. But that means that sometimes you're going to hear car noises, or my good friend Norma told me she could hear Archie shaking in his harness. And I'm just not going to worry about that. I'm going to let that out there for the world. So you're getting a real view of some of the sights and sounds of my neighborhood here in Setagaya, Tokyo. So apologies, maybe someday I will get it more together and be able to do these recordings in a quiet, dedicated space with something other than my iPhone. But for right now, it is what it is. And I don't mean that in any kind of crappy Trump way, if you heard our president use that comment. And it will never be the same. But anyway, talking about better, happier things. So I live in Tokyo. My name's Lauren. This is Tokyo Tea Time, episode number 3. I'm so excited to get back here. I just logged in today and saw that 29 people have listened to episode 2. That's just amazing to me. So for all of you that have been tuning in, thank you. I really appreciate it, and I hope that I can keep making this interesting and fun for everyone. Okay, so episode 3. I decided I wanted to talk about tea again, because last time, you know, even though it's Tokyo Tea Time, I did warn you we will not always be talking about tea. I mean tea time in a kind of more philosophical way. So last time we talked about Japanese pubs and how we love to share food in Japan, and that that is the common style of service in those kinds of locations. So today, we're going to switch gears a little bit, and I am going to talk about two things near and dear to my heart. One is about seasonal food in Japan. And the second one is about my favorite, current favorite type of green tea that maybe you haven't heard of if you don't live here in Japan or you're not a big green tea drinker yet. Of course, we hope we can convince you to become a tea drinker. But for right now, I'm going to share one of my favorite kinds that is not as well known outside Japan. So let's start in with seasonal food. Now, everyone that I work with will tell you that I am obsessed with this topic, but I think that it's really special. And it was quite an epiphany for me after I'd lived in Japan for a little while. So when I first moved to Japan, I was living in this southern region on an island called Shikoku, in a small prefecture, which is the Japanese equivalent of a state. And when people were telling me about Japan in English, so these were Japanese people talking to me about Japanese culture and customs in English, they would always say, Japan is wonderful because we have four seasons. Now, the thing is, I'm from the East Coast in the US, where we also have spring, summer, winter, and fall. So I was like, okay, well, big deal. you know, my country has four seasons too. A lot of countries in the world have four seasons. So what the heck are you going on about, and why is that special? And it was a few years before what I realized about Japanese culture and seasonal food is when a Japanese person says, Japanese food is great, we have four seasons, what they mean is that in Japan, we celebrate the seasons. And actually, we celebrate a lot more than four of them, and I'll explain a little bit about that later on. But more than any other place that I've lived, more than any other type of food culture that I've studied, the Japanese love hyper-seasonality. Really, really concentrating on all of the little nuances of the seasons. And so it's not enough just to say, oh, spring is beautiful, but we know the great food and flowers and produce, fish, activities that are good for the early spring, the middle of spring, the latter part of spring, transitional times between spring and summer. There are special things that are held in such high regard for all of those little daily transitions. And the effect of that in the overall culture is a celebration of anticipation. So you can look forward to what's coming up, and then a real sense of being in the moment. This time of year, this particular year, this week in spring is great because of fill in the blank. And for, I think this really started as a food thing, I would suspect, because Japan was a fishing and agricultural nation, and different fish and different produce and different fruits and different flowers are at their best in very different times of the year. And we know about that in Japan, and we celebrate it, and we get excited about it. And I've never seen such a place where there's such a common knowledge that this particular time of year is good for this, and that next week we can look forward to something else, and kind of everybody talks about it, kids, adults, older people, everybody kind of knows and gets into that celebration. So, what that means in the food world, and why I think it started as a food thing, is I kind of learned this, actually backtracking a little, I kind of saw this really in action when I first started taking people on food tours of the famous Tsukiji Fish Market. Because from week to week doing tours, I was doing two or three tours a week, and from week to week, the makeup of what was being sold by all of the fresh fish vendors would change dramatically. So even the shrimp guy who focused solely on selling crustacean, the crustaceans that would be in abundance this week would be different than next week. And that had a lot to do with when certain types of shrimp were at their best for eating, at their best for catching, and at their best for cooking. And so I could really physically see the seasons changing before my eyes in the market. And it was really, really interesting to me to kind of track that and pay attention to that. Now, before I go on and on and on about this, because trust me, I can talk a lot about this subject, I want to give you a quick heads up about an amazing app that will illustrate this for you. So in Japan, of course, we have, you know, spring, summer, winter, fall, like everybody. But actually, there are 24 regular seasons in Japan, which is like, you know, each season has three sections. So there's early spring, mid spring, and then the end of spring transitioning into summer. And then you do the same thing in summer and fall. So it's kind of more, you know, four seasons broke into three things each for a really great example of that. But then if you go back to the ancient Japanese calendar, there were 72 seasons. And these seasons are like a week to 10 days long. And they really celebrate the fish, produce, and activities that you only can do during that time. And if you're curious about this, or you are thinking to call BS on me about this, I want you to go on right now to iTunes or Google Play and download the free app done by Japanese historians called 72 Seasons. It is beautiful. It has all kinds of botanical drawings and fish information and produce information. And the really cool thing is when you log in, you will only be able to see this season right now, this week. They don't let you go backwards and they don't let you go forwards. And that's intentional to keep you in the moment. So check it out. It's called 72 Seasons, the numbers 72 Seasons. And it's getting really loud now by the road, so I'm gonna wrap up this segment and I will be back in a few minutes with a little bit more about seasonality and then we will talk some tea. Okay, guys, I am back with the second half of this podcast, and I'm going to jump right in with a little bit more about seasonality and specifically the season that we're in right now. So we are at the end of summer. It is hot, 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 and there are some of my favorite foods in season right now in Japan. So everything is about feeling a little bit cooler and enjoying the ripeness and the lusciousness of this end of summer season. And my absolute favorite part of summer are Japanese white peaches. So these are not like Georgia peaches that I had when I was growing up. They are a very juicy, pale, fleshed stone fruit. They are sweet, but not super sweet. They are actually great for eating just how they are. You peel the fuzzy skin off and you just slice them up and eat them like that. They are great on ice cream. They do not, however, hold up very well to baking. Yeah, so they are not your kind of peach pie, peach cobbler kind of peaches. They are best eaten, like so many things in Japan, just fresh and perfectly ripe, and they are my favorites. And the crazy thing is they are in season for just about maybe 5 or 6 weeks at the most, and then they 100% disappear. And that's really a hallmark of how much we celebrate the seasons here. So I spend a year looking forward to them, and then I eat a bunch of them in that like 4 or 5 week period. I usually don't start right at the beginning because they're not as ripe. I like them really later in the season, and I eat a bunch of them, and I really enjoy them. And the crazy thing is they're quite big, but they are also very expensive. So the best ones can be about 800 yen or $8 for a big peach, or maybe 1500 yen or $15 for a pair of peaches. Later on in the season, they get a little bit cheaper, and early in the season, they're a little bit cheaper, but when they are at their prime, they are definitely a premium fruit. And I have a great special story. Last year, this wonderful couple from San Francisco came and hired me to do a custom tour for them. We drove outside of Tokyo to the oldest sake brewery in the Tokyo outlying area. So if you're talking about Tokyo, the city and the outlying areas, this is the sake brewery that has been around the most and or the longest. And we drove out there for a day and we enjoyed ourselves tremendously. They were a lovely couple, very fun to travel with, and we had a chance to really explore together. And while we were there, they were asking me a lot of questions about seasonality and about Japanese fruit and Japanese gifts and things like that. And what I didn't know was they were silently taking notes. And about a day or two after I toured with them, I got a special peach, a box of peaches, actually two peaches, in the mail in this wooden Japanese style box. And the peaches themselves were $40 peaches, $40 a piece. And they were from this amazing fruit shop, big luxury fruit shop, which is quite famous around Japan. And
it was amazing. Like, I was thinking when I got them, wow, this was really nice. I would never do them this for myself, but what a nice gift. But really, is a $40 peach really that different from an $8 peach? And what I have to tell you is these were the most perfect peaches I had ever tasted. So you may be thinking, how do you end up with a $40 peach? Well, the story is kind of interesting. The shop that sells this is called Sembikia, and they were established in the Ginza kind of luxury area of Japan in Tokyo. And originally they were just like a regular fruit seller, but they decided to distinguish themselves and stand out. The wife actually got the idea, why don't we sell luxury fruit as gifts? And so this fruit is specially raised. It is perfectly unblemished, perfect size, perfect consistency. It's always the most amazing version of any fruit that you are going to buy. And they have perfect grapes and amazing strawberries. And the shop itself feels like going into a Tiffany jewelry store, except it's gorgeous fruit. Now, you don't buy this to like go home and make a fruit salad. This is fruit that is meant as a special gift. Just like that couple gave me my peach present, this is something that you would give to someone for a special occasion, maybe a graduation or a big thank you, or maybe to a boss or to a special client. In fact, early on in the history, the major purchasers were doctors and pharmaceutical companies. So the pharmaceutical companies were giving these amazing fruits to doctors, which makes a perfect amount of sense because, you know, it's a much more healthy treat. It's not like giving them a bottle of alcohol or some sweet or salty snacks. It's like a beautiful piece of fruit. And so this became the tradition in Japan. And just to end this story with a kind of funny note, the early days when Chris and I, my husband and I, first lived in Japan, and we were living on a smaller island, Shikoku, we got invited to a summer kind of potluck, and we decided we were gonna make a fruit salad. And it was crazy because even though we didn't go to a big luxury fruit shop, fruit in Japan is really delicious and perfect and seasonal, but it's also quite pricey. Remember those like $8 peaches? And so we decided we were gonna make a fruit salad anyway. And we made this fruit salad, and I think the total fruit salad must have cost $80. For some melon and strawberries and, you know, some pineapple and whatever we could find in season at that time. It was completely crazy, and I don't think I have ever made a fruit salad again in Japan. But it was fun and it was worth it, and it was certainly a culture shock moment. So when you come to Japan, whatever season it is, make sure you look in the grocery store at all the beautiful fruit. And if you have a chance, you can go to a department store food floor or to the main Sembikia shop and take a look at the most amazing, perfect fruit in beautiful gift boxes that you're ever going to see. And if you want to buy that for someone, they take care of everything for you. They box it up, they ship it, it gets there right away while it's in its peak. And I am sure that any Japanese friend that you give fruit to will be so touched and appreciative of such a perfect, seasonal, delicious gift. So that's my little luxury fruit story, and I am definitely gonna eat a few more peaches before this season is over. So when you get here, think of me, come in the summertime, maybe try some of the peaches, and let me know what you think. So that's my last little bit about seasonality. I'm sure I'll be talking about this on future podcasts, but I wanna end tonight talking about another type of teas. This is Tokyo tea time after all. So let me tell you that one of my favorite teas is something called genmai cha. And what makes genmai cha special is it's kind of a basic sencha green tea, long leaf, very delicious green tea, which is a little bit sweet, a little bit vegetal, very subtle, very delicious. And in this particular version, what is added to it is tiny grains of roasted puffed rice. And so what that does is it makes the flavor a little bit nutty, a little bit tastes like cereal, smells really good. Like think about kind of like puffed rice cereal, and it kind of smells like that, but it's really gentle on your palate and your stomach. And it's one of my favorite green teas to drink hot or cold. And I particularly love Genmai tea from Shizuoka Prefecture, which is one of the largest and high quality green tea growing regions in all of Japan. So don't forget that one. It's Genmai Cha, Genmai Tea. And when you are in a tea shop, you can ask for it. They will have it. And you can also usually see it if they have a display out. It's the dark green tea leaves with little bits of brown puffed rice. And it is so yummy. So thank you for tuning in for episode 3. Remember peaches, Genmai tea, and don't forget to download 72 Seasons. You will appreciate it, I am sure. It is a beautiful educational app and really fun and free. And I hope you will think about seasonality and being in the moment in your own corner of the world. What is at its best right now? And take a little time to taste it, appreciate it, maybe give it as a gift to someone else, and think about us here in Japan. So thanks again. Thanks for tuning in. Please feel free to leave me an audio message on Anchor or send me an email or get in touch somehow. We would love it if you subscribe. I would be so happy. And I am looking forward to future episodes. So stay tuned. In episode 4, I will be interviewing someone again. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to episode 2, I really recommend it. I interview my friend Josh, and I'll talk to you again soon. So thank you so much. Happy tea time.